Hi, everyone. I'm Greg Lambert, and I want to welcome you to a special series we are calling Love and Legal Tech. Love and Legal Tech. First of all, thanks to Jerry David DeSica and his partner, Eve Searles, for giving us some new intro music just for this series. So thanks, Jerry and Eve. Now, in this series, we are interviewing couples who work together or work in the same field that we holistically call legal tech. So we're excited to kick off the series, so let's jump right in.
Welcome to The Geek in Review, the podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal profession. I'm Marlene Gebauer.
And I'm Greg Lambert, and we just flew back from Legal Week. Marlene and I we actually ended up on the same flight back, and we had such a great conversation because I think I slept for 2 hours on the way back. I was tired.
I know. It's like we played games, we watched movies, and we slept, I think. So
yeah, that's it. Well,
it's just, you know, really what you should do on a flight, I think. So
absolutely. So we are really excited because we're going to start off our new Love and Legal Tech feature. And today we have with us Cassie Verdevec, who is the practice director, corporate and director of practice strategies at Barnes and Thornburg. Cassie, can we shorten that down a little bit?
You know, they suckered me in, Greg. They gave me two jobs when I said I was going to start.
Two jobs but one salary. That's two titles, two jobs.
That's the
Norman legal, right?
It's the American way. It's how it's done. And we have Cassie's partner, Alex McDonald, who is the chief strategy officer at McCarter and English LLP. So, Alex, welcome as well.
Thank you. It's a nice short title, and I truly appreciate that.
Well, fitting to our personalities, by the way. He's a lot more short and sweet, and I tend to run on.
I can tell this is going to be great already. So before we begin, I did want to start because we're calling this Love and Legal Tech, but just like this podcast, we're not just about the technology. We're about the innovation. We're about creativity. So we're using kind of a broad definition, but we're leaving it in Cassie, we're going with the short title, just Love and Legal Tech. And so we're happy to do that. So, and you guys are our first couple to have on. So thank you very much for
the inaugural couple. That's awesome.
Yeah. I can tell this is going to be fun. Already.
We've been around the block, so maybe it's good that it's us.
Yeah. Well, Cassie, why don't we start with you? Can you just kind of talk to us a little bit about what you do in the legal field?
Sure. So I would broadly refer to my role as practice management, but it's really a lot more than that. I've been working in large law firms for really about the last 20 years, doing everything on the business operations, management, and strategy side of things. And so as of early December, I'm at Barnes & Thornburg, and I've got both a practice management role within the corporate department and a firm-wide strategy role.
And Alex, give us a little background on you.
Yeah, what she said. But if you want a little bit more, so I started my career off as a legal industry consultant, and I was predominantly back in those days focused on implementation of legal technology as it created efficiencies within various legal teams. And that led to more operational consulting that progressed in my consulting career. And then from there, that's where I went, quote, in-house for me, which is where I met Cassie at Cypress Shaw. And I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit, the practice management role. And since then, progressed through the practice management side of the house in big law, but about 5 years ago took a position at McCarter and English, which pushed me more into the firm leadership and management space. So while I continue to have the practice management and legal techie stuff in my remit, I have all the boring stuff too, like loss prevention and, you know, whether or not they're the right doors around the conference rooms and things like that as well. So it's been a little bit of a shift the last couple of years in particular. All for the better.
So, Alex, you mentioned briefly how the two of you met, but I'm wondering if you guys can sort of give a little more detail about kind of how that relationship, grew and blossomed.
Cassie would like to say she hired me, but that's not exactly the case.
I was going to say, I could do the short and sweet there. I'm good with that.
No, she did not hire me. She was part of the team that hired me. Like I mentioned, I was consulting, and at that point in time, I was traveling upwards of 200,000 miles a year flying, and it just it got to be too much for me, and I really wanted to look for a little bit more of a stable lifestyle. So I started to look at law firms, and Cypharth had obviously a great reputation for innovation and process, and for somebody like me, that was a great spot, and applied for a role there. Cassie was one of the impressive people on the team that hired me. You know, I think our friendship blossomed from there, and obviously a couple houses and a child later, here we are.
I would add a little bit more color it, because I think this might be a little bit interesting. So we worked together at Cypharth Shaw for a while, but we clicked right away. It's partly why I recommended that we hire him. It's partly why he wanted to come and join us. And we did. We blossomed a really strong friendship and just partnership. We were like-minded in a lot of things. We were doing presentations together, like right off the bat as well. And it took both of us kind of confiding in each other about a headhunter that had reached out about a job opportunity in a completely different place, namely Washington, D.C., for us to really start talking about making a move together, not together, but together. And it took all of that to happen for us to realize that we had feelings for each other and that there was something there. And when we finally went back and told our Cypharth Shaw colleagues, they all effectively rolled their eyes at us and were like, yeah, duh.
No kidding. What took me so long?
It took us way longer than it took everyone else.
This might be TMI. I mean, we told each other we loved each other before we had ever kissed. Just because that friendship blossomed so deeply to the point where when we were at that point, we're like, should we be doing this? Is this what we're doing? I was like, we were like, I think we love each other. And you know, it was really backwards in many ways. And then, you know, from there, we probably spent, you know, we were talking about this earlier today at lunch that, you know, it was probably maybe an exaggeration, but not quite. You could count on two hands the number of days we were apart over the next 5 or 6 years, that we weren't 24 hours a day together in the office, at home, in the office, at home. And you really get to appreciate how strong a connection you have when that's sort of the repetitive pattern you have day in and day out. And, you know, Cassie likes to mention how when the pandemic came around and we had just split at that point, I had just gone to Cypharth. She had just gone to her previous firm. I had just gone to McCarter and she had just gone to her previous firm. And then the pandemic threw us back together again. And for us, it was like riding a bike and we were right back into it. And I know a lot of couples struggled with that, but for us, it was old hat.
Well, I was expecting to get feelings, but not start crying on this. I don't.
I mean, that's very sweet. Imagine it must have been, you know, scary because, you know, here you are, you know, you're really tight work colleagues and, you know, you're developing feelings and it's, not, you know, it's like, are we going to ruin this? You know,
There was some of that.
I don't even
right?
think it was that. I don't know. Like, there wasn't really a choice in it. We were kind of both there, and that was it. It wasn't like we could choose not to do it or to turn it off. For me, at least, it was, this is the reality, and it feels like it's been there forever, even though it's all brand new and kind of backwards.
Yeah, I was going to say there's some of that. It wasn't that it was necessarily scary. It was more of, oh man, we just made this move to this firm together. We weren't together when we made the move. Now we're together. How is this going to be viewed by the employer? Because we were brought there to build an entire department together. And so we were working hand in hand. They banked on us jointly. And we felt like we were keeping something from them for a while. And then ultimately it got to a point where it was untenable. We had to go to our boss and say, hey, you know, look, this is what's going on. Now, he was surprised, but he also was very happy and excited because he said he couldn't imagine two better people being together. So that stress was there for maybe the first 9-10 months or so, but then, you know, we pulled
the band-aid. Let me correct something, though. Everything in a relationship is a we. But let's just backtrack to how the conversation with that boss went down and who had to deliver that message during her review. One of the two of us took one for the team.
I am the chief strategy officer, so I'm gonna stick with my strategy.
At the time, you were not. And I found that for you, too, by the way.
we could go on for hours and hours about how intertwined our careers and, you know, how we support each other. It is sort of the bedrock, I think, of what certainly I would credit a large chunk of my success to, is that I can frankly steal ideas from her brilliant mind and take them and incorporate them in what I do. And maybe she gets an idea once a quarter or so from me, hopefully. But, you know, that ability to talk with somebody on that professional level, but also have the deep respect and love you have for them, is something really, I think, pretty special. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
And I would think a lot of people would think that, especially the way you two were working together for such a long period of time, that, you know, it'd be one of those things where, don't you get tired after a while of, you know, seeing the same person, talking about the same things, living? And so what do you think was the best thing about being in the same profession and working together?
I think that's kind of two part for us. I think you saw both of us shake our heads, and for people just listening, we don't ever get sick of each other. Do we get sick of the subject matter? Absolutely. And have we debated, disputed over how much we talk about work? Absolutely. I mean, when you spend 24 hours a day together, there's only so much really to talk about. But I do think that for us in particular, because our lives are so intertwined, they're just so intertwined. We talk about everything all the time, and we have made a conscious effort not to talk as much about work. And it does help that we have a daughter. She's 6. And Alex has a son who's 19. And so we have kids in the life. We like to travel a lot. We have other interests. So we have made a point to talk about other things. But it's still a challenge. I mean, it's been a decade. And here we are still talking about work, doing work things all the time.
It's Cassie is a term earlier today that I don't think she coined, but certainly we use quite a bit. It's called, you know, work-life integration. And if there's any couple that has work and life sort of fully integrated, I think it's probably us. We'll be having a conversation about maybe an ill family member or something. Our child has to get better at school, or, you know, my son's girlfriend. And then all intertwined with that will be, you know, oh, but this person at work was doing this, or my executive committee is expecting XYZ out of me in the next 30 days. And it really sort of all seamlessly flows as one organic conversation, which I can imagine people from the outside looking at it would go, that spins my head, how you guys are hopping topics together. But it's because of that, you know, that amount of time we spend together that I think, you know, we almost have a shorthand way of speaking, which is also I find to be, you know, endearing, but also I can imagine to other people, they might find it a little off.
I'm kind of curious, I mean, sort of what's been the most challenging thing about being in the same profession, like beyond two people, you know, two professionals working full time, having kids, you know, is there something specific about sort of being in the same profession that is a particular challenge?
Can I, at the risk of maybe, you know, saying something that was going to make you mad? I think there can be a tendency at points to benchmark yourself, especially as two type A people, you know, especially now that we're at different firms. Your opportunity is X, or the people you get to work with are Y, and my opportunity is, and that personally for me is difficult, because I try not to do that in any walk of life, but I try to just be accountable to myself and worry about myself. But there is a natural tendency, I think, at points to try, and when you're type A and you're ambitious and you want to succeed in your career, you have somebody next to you who's doing the same thing, you sometimes try to measure yourself against that person. And in a relationship, that's that's a difficult thing.
And let's be real. I mean, we work in large law firms, which means that we are kind of stuck in the prehistoric age in many ways.
What?
And there have definitely been times over the last decade when Alex and I have been working together and not, when there's been a circumstance when, let's just say, if we were working from the exact same presentation, the exact same script, it would be reflected differently if it was delivered by him or delivered by me. And that's a challenging thing to get past. And, you know, I'm the one that struggled to get past it more, and he's the one that would hear the benchmarking. And so those were definitely moments for us where we had to think about, what am I really trying to say? And what am I really trying to solve for? And then what is he really hearing? So we could ultimately also improve our communication, which is another thing that we worked on at work together, because we were hired to run a team. So communication was really important for us professionally. And then we were figuring out communication personally as well. And that's where some of it, I think, intersected a little bit and became just maybe a little bit challenging for us. But I think because we're so close and we've got such a good, deep foundation, it's not like any of these things were ever issues for us. They were just little things that we had to figure out and move on from.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me. We had a conversation years ago with Ryan McLeod, who is going to be on with Kate Boyd in one of the later shows, that we had this argument years ago, and I think Marlene remembers this, where we went to a conference and somebody was saying, well, I can't tell you how, you know, what we're doing because you might steal that. And Ryan and I were both like, you could lay out everything you're doing in order, and there is no way that I can go to my firm and my environment and my culture and do that. So it doesn't matter what you tell me. It's going to be so much different when we do it there. So I imagine that there's, you know, this issue of, you know, well, I have to be careful so that I don't, you know, let this out. Like, most law firms are so different from each other that it doesn't matter. Are you finding that to be the case?
Yeah, well, I have a sign up on my wall in my office that says Culture Eats Strategy for Breakfast. I know it's a well-known term, but I believe that wholeheartedly, and it's sort of a reminder to me, Greg, exactly that. You know, the strategy you employ has to mesh and fit the firms, and we all know that firms are all totally different. You know, I'd say, but more recently, as Cassie's moved, you know, into a firm where it's, you know, similar segment of the market in terms of the clients and the type of work that we do, we definitely, you know, shifted gears a little bit and try, you know, definitely paying much more attention to that sensitivity. Maybe that'll dissipate over time, because I tend to agree with you that, you know, she could give me the secret sauce to Coke, and it's, you know, not going to be our secret sauce to Coke.
Yeah.
But it's also one thing to talk about, like, things that you're doing from a strategic standpoint, like things that you're talking about in terms of LPM or pricing or technology tools or pilots that you're doing. Like, that's one thing. Whereas to talk to me about, like, a partner of mine that you want to poach, like, those are two different things.
Right.
I think we're both smart enough and professional enough that we also know how to walk that line, but we do have to walk it really for the first time, because when we both left Venable, he went to McCarter and I went to Paul Hastings. The two firms were really not on each other's radar, so it was just a completely different conversation. Whereas today, both firms are clearly on each other's radar. So, but again, we're smart enough and professional enough that we know how to keep that out of the conversation.
Yep.
When, frankly, we would probably tease each other if it ever came to pass. Like, it would end up being some kind of a competition. Like,
and I was going to say, it also helps fuel the, you know, fuel having other conversations, which I'm all for.
Yeah. Well, what do people say when you tell them that you're a couple and you both work in the same industry?
Yeah, because when we set this out, like, we were thinking, oh, I mean, we know a couple people, but we were very surprised at the amount of people that you know, they are couples in this industry, and, you know, we're willing to talk. So, you know, what are you finding?
I think that when we tell new people, especially now that we've lived through a pandemic, the first thing that people say is, oh, I could never do that. I could never work with my spouse. I'd kill them. We wouldn't survive. And I think a lot of marriages and relationships didn't survive the pandemic for that reason, as everybody was under one roof at the same time and didn't really know how to do that. And for us, it's how we started. And so it's very natural. And people who see us together, they just kind of get it. I don't know, Alex, what else you would add?
Yeah, I think people find that out, you know, in our personal life, and they're not totally surprised that we would be aligned with interest, because we appear aligned on a lot of things that way. But I'm going to shift gears a little bit and tell a little bit of a funny story. When I started at McCarter, within a month, I had to give a presentation on our partner retreat. And I, you know, went through this whole dog and pony show where I was presenting data and I was saying, you know, these are the things we want to focus on and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But my real motivation is that I kept flashing up, you know, pictures of Cassie and saying how I want, you know, but beat Cassie was effectively my motivation, because it was the first time we'd split, you know, to go back to that type A competition type thing. But I was doing it tongue in cheek, of course. But I still have partners, you know, who come up to me 5 years later and ask how Cassie's doing and asking, you know, whether or not I'm winning in the competition. And
so you know, attorney.
Yeah.
Well, they also nicknamed him the Night King early on, which
they did, but that's a whole other story. But sometimes I have to stop and remember what I said all those years ago, because that was just a gimmick that I used to sort of introduce myself to the firm. It's not who we are. And so I think when people find it out, you know, they probably hear what they, you know, what they want to hear about it. I think most people want to know what we talk about all the time. And, you know, the answer is, you know, we talk about what everybody talks about. We just happen, when we talk about work, to have a little bit of a deeper appreciation for what each other's going through.
So, I mean, I know you've mentioned that, you know, both of you have worked together in the past, and though you may not be working together now, how did you handle situations where, you know, you didn't agree on the approach? And I'm also wondering how that carries over until now.
How's that carry over after 5 o'clock?
We open a bottle of wine.
Perfect.
Wine solves many problems.
Luckily for us, when we worked together, there were few, you know, the space between us, I think, was pretty narrow. But the times, boy, whew, the times when we did disagree on something, those were probably some of the, yeah, I'll just call spade a spade, the ugliest moments in our relationship. Luckily for us, they haven't been that many. And, you know, luckily for us, we don't really have those anymore because we don't work together. But it is difficult. There's no doubt about it. And for me in particular, I don't get mad easily. And when I do get mad, it is a weeks-long event, so I apologize for those occurrences. But yeah, so luckily for us, it just doesn't happen that often. But when it does, I'm sorry.
And I would say, I would agree that early on, it made it so easy, and it's why we knew, it's kind of why we wanted to take the jobs at Venable, is we knew that we worked together. And I think it's what made us attractive to them, as they were looking to build something. And it's really hard to pick off individual people at a senior level who don't know each other and say, okay, now get into the kitchen and try to build this together, especially if they're not starting at the exact same time. You end up just backpedaling then and not really getting anything done. And we had this track record. We knew that we liked each other. We knew that we worked really well together. We communicated very well. And we just came from generally the same perspective. And so I think our foundation was built on that, which made it a little bit easier as we got down the line. As Alex said, when we were, you know, we were very emotionally invested in each other and what we were doing, we both relocated from Chicago to Washington, D.C. to make that work. And that firm was completely and totally different from the firm we came from. I mean, you talk about apples and oranges, and it's apples and oranges, even though on paper they looked kind of similar, some of the key metrics at the time, but couldn't have been more different. And the culture point that Alex made was a key one. And I'm a hot temper. I cool off easy, but I'm a hot temper. And I don't necessarily show it in my day job, but when your day job bleeds into your life, we would get going on something and it would just run. and we would take it, and I, you know, we'd run hot and back and forth and debating whatever it was we were debating. I can't even remember like a single topic that we debated about, because then I think it probably came to everything under the sun, and sometimes required a, you know, a walk outside in the cool air to figure that out. But ultimately, we always came back and cooled down and figured it out. And I don't think that there was really anything negative that came from it, especially in terms of our work product. Like, we came back together, we figured out a way forward. It was sometimes a compromise. I prefer to go with the win-win approach than the compromise being a lose-lose. But in like every relationship, there's always some bit of that. And I think that ours definitely saw that, especially as it came to work, because we were so careful and so thoughtful to make sure that our team never ever felt that there was anything going on because we had a personal relationship that was not meant for the workplace. And so I think we went over and above to make sure that things during the workday stayed where they were. And that also might be why we had some of those after hours tiffs, you know, because we really focused so hard during the day to make sure that everybody was comfortable with our working environment.
Yeah, and the other part of that, I'm glad you reminded me of that. You know, you'd be sitting there in a room where, you know, you might disagree with something. And that was probably one of the hardest things about working together, was you did have to show that united front because you were jointly running a team. And, you know, typically we would all do that. If we were jointly running a team, we would support our colleague and show a united front to the team. Then you go home, where you'd normally get to vent about, oh, that other person did such and such a thing. Well, when we went home, it was together. And so the only person to vent to about that other person doing the such and such a thing was that other person. So I think over time, you know, we learned, we turned it into a positive, and we learned how to use it to communicate better and to understand each other's perspective on things. Luckily, we don't work together anymore, so we definitely don't have those exact situations that come up, but it definitely strengthened us as a couple to go through those things, you know, over the years.
And I think we really enjoyed working together.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that really and truly. Like, I really loved that time of life when we were working together and figuring stuff out, you know, on a professional level, but we obviously now have the personal level, and I'm good with that too.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was going to ask you how you balance that, but it sounds like one, over time, you kind of learned that, and I imagine when you were working together, it was probably a little bit more structured on, okay, we're transitioning into our personal life, let's leave work behind us a little bit.
Structured sometimes. I mean, it would be like kiss in the car and then don't come within 6 feet of each other the rest of the day.
Well, there was that, but we didn't have kids at that point, like together.
Yeah.
And so there really was no separation. We'd leave work in work clothes. We'd go to a restaurant, have conversations, continuing whatever it was that we were talking about previously. Like, we made a life doing other things. We got great friends when we were living in Washington, D.C. We played sports. We traveled a lot. But I would say a majority of our life was just revolved around work. And then when we had our daughter, that's when things, I think, really started to become more clear, because you know, when you have kids, they become the topic of conversation like 90% of the time. So work took a major backseat to talking about our daughter. And, you know, over the years, I think I was joking with Alex earlier when I said this, because I said, I think this is the term that the kids are using, the work-life integration. But I do think it really does epitomize a little bit what our lives have become, is the way that we integrate pretty seamlessly our personal stuff that we really enjoy on the side, and then everything related to our jobs as well.
Yeah. Amen.
Yep. So shifting to sort of professional now, like, you know, what are some of the interesting things that the two of you are doing now in the legal tech world?
It's AI, right?
It's got to be AI.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation about AI. But, you know, I think that's probably a good example of where Cassie and I might have different views on, and we have some spirited debates over the impact of AI in our field. But, you know, I mean, I'm fortunate enough. My job is broad in scope. I wear a ton of different hats in the firm. So, you know, one of the things isn't legal tech related, but, you know, I get to spend a lot of time, growing the firm and, going around and meeting lawyers from a bunch of different walks of life, whether they be lawyers who are at boutique firms who are looking to wind those firms down and use a acquisition by us as a retirement strategy or continuity strategy, all the way to partner at XYZ big firm who's thinking about a transition and looks at our platform that it might make sense for any number of reasons. And I found that part of the job recently to be a really fulfilling part of what I do. But in the legal tech specific space, we've found that some of the automation is much more ready and ripe for our operations rather than necessarily client facing or client service. And so we're spending a decent amount of time and resources focused there. You probably heard it. And, thinking about automating AP, for example, that's sort of an easy one, or automating things around our help desk for tech support and things of that nature. That to me seems to be a much more ubiquitous technology that's available and more mature, and one that impacts the bottom line of the firm just as much as trying to figure out and crack the nut of legal service delivery. But it's an interesting time to do what we do. I think the industry is at an inflection point. Anybody who ever hears me talk about the industry will hear me say how there are these different sort of crisis points in the larger world that tend to create big shifts in our industry, whether it goes back to the 9/11 or to the economic collapse in 2008, 2009, and now to COVID. I think all of those events drive tremendous change through our industry. And so right at the sort of the beginning point of this next wave, and certainly legal tech is going to be one of those, one of those leading catalysts of that wave.
And Cassie, what are you doing?
Well, Craig, I'm 60 days into a new job.
So you're
doing
it all.
A lot of everything and a lot of nothing. So ask me again the next time we talk, but really, I'm getting up to speed on what's a great firm, a firm that is very tech forward, in my opinion. They've already opened their doors to a lot of really great vendors. And one of the things that we really need to focus on is more tech adoption. It's not necessarily bringing in the tech, but it's more making sure that we're leveraging it and using it and driving those efficiencies and the gains in profitability within the business. We have an AI committee that I'm going to be part of, which I'm really excited about because I'm on the side of the debate here that thinks that generative AI is something that we do need to be thinking about and considering and will have an implication.
We don't need to be thinking about it. I just don't think it's as disruptive as people think it's going to be. But
yeah, we could get into that debate. But I'm glad to be involved in those conversations and thinking about where we can and should be going and how we can help the business and the practice of law to be even more efficient. I agree with Alex. I think it's an exciting time to be in legal today. I feel that in our positions, being on the professional side of the firm, we actually make a difference in the client relationship today. We can actually be the make or break decision for a client and whether or not they want to do work with our firms. That the cost of, Am Law 100 law firm, pretty good lawyers, right? Typically, you're going to go to any one of the Am Law 100 firms and you can find a good lawyer. So it becomes more than about just finding the good lawyer. It becomes about the experience with the firm. And that's everything that we touch. And so I think it's an exciting time because we get to play a role in that client relationship and helping the firm to drive a competitive advantage and to be sticky. And I'm excited about that. And again, ask me in 6 months or so what I'm doing, and I'm sure I'll have a much more succinct list of interesting things. But for right now, I think it's a lot of everything and nothing.
Makes sense. Well, normally we ask our guests what we call our crystal ball question. And Cassie, I'm so glad that you are part of our first couple because you are a Valentine's Day baby. And so maybe we coined this, Marlene, as the Valentine's question, right? And so what advice would you give another couple who's considering working in the same field or working together in the same business that you think would help them succeed? Alex, why don't we go with you, and then and Cassie, we'll finish up with our own St. Valentine to answer that.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a one-size-fits-all answer to that, Greg. I think, you know, it really is about compatibility. You know, there are some couples that work out just fine and are great couples, but they, it's because they have the space and distance and the independence to live, you know, different lives and work and sometimes even personally. You know, so in order for people working together, whether it's in the legal industry or starting a business together or whatever the case may be, spending that much time together is, you know, really takes just a special set of communication skill set that you got to be open to it and you got to have the right person. But I don't know that there's a one size fits all answer to that. I'm sorry if that's not a great answer, but it's my answer.
Well, let's see if Cassie has a one size fits all answer.
You know, I don't think that Alex and I step back often and realize just how rare our relationship is.
Yeah.
That we did start by working together and then built a friendship and then started working even more closely together by building a team together and then built a family together and spent 24 hours a day together while we were working for the same company and then 24 hours a day together working for different companies with a two-year-old at home during a pandemic. So I think he's right, unfortunately, Greg, for you, that there really is not a one-size-fits-all answer. But he used compatibility, which I think was a great choice of C word. I was going to go with the other C word he mentioned, which is communication, that I think people who are going to be getting into a relationship, in, I mean, at all, that's obviously, it's obvious that you, communication is key, as corny as it is, it's true. But if you're going to get into this in a relationship with somebody that you work with, whether it's just in the same industry or the same company or even in the same team, I think that you have to bring things forward. You have to talk about how you're feeling. And if there are things that bother you, like we had a lot of conversations about the benchmarking because that was something that Alex really, really felt. And it was something that I never intended to do, but I was trying to talk about things that were important or bothering me. And you have to figure out how to bring all of that out and share it with each other so that it can be out in the open, you can figure it out, and you can move on together and become stronger. I think for us, you know, realizing almost a decade in, like our relationship is stronger than ever. And that's after working together twice, having a child, working separately through a pandemic, and dealing with everything else that life has thrown our way, which has been a lot. And so I would say also to be patient and have faith in each other, respect each other, and just kind of the grace to see your relationship through. But that would be for anybody anywhere, not just those working in the same job or industry.
See, I'd like to take her answer.
You didn't want the short and sweet this time?
No, that one's better.
Well, Cassie Verdevec and Alex McDonald, I want to thank you both for coming on the show and sharing your love and legal tech story. Thank you both.
Thank you both. That was great.
Thank you.
And of course, thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen to the Geek and Review podcast. If you enjoy the show, share it with a colleague. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out to us on social media. I could be found on LinkedIn or on X at GayBauerM and on Threads at MGayBauer66.
And I can be reached on LinkedIn or on X at Glambert or on Threads at GlambertPod. Cassie, let's start with you. If somebody wanted to learn more, reach out, where's a good place to find you online?
Well, not on Glambert, that's for sure. But you can find me on LinkedIn.
And Alex?
Yeah, LinkedIn similarly, or you find me on the McCarter.com website and send me a note.
No X, no TikTok, any of that. Sorry.
You guys don't have a couple TikTok, legal tech couples TikTok?
Dance videos or anything like that?
Ask us next time.
All right. All right. In that 6 month reunion tour, we'll get back to you.
And as always, everyone, the music you hear is from Jerry David DeSica. Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. All right, everyone, thank you very much.
Thank you. Don't have